Hello everyone, and welcome to another Windows 7 webcast on Channel 9. Finally, we can talk about all the new cool features Windows 7 has to give all the audience out there and developers. With me today, Chaitanya, Trish, and Stefan. Can you please introduce yourself?
My name is Stefan Hufnagels, and I'm a designer on the Windows desktop experience for Windows 7.
And I'm Trish Miner. I'm the user experience researcher on the desktop experience for Windows 7.
And I'm Chaitanya Sreen. I'm a program manager on the desktop experience team, working on the taskbar and some other desktop elements.
Thank you, guys. And I'm very happy to say that today we're going to talk about one of Windows 7 highlights, the new Windows 7 taskbar. So who wants to start and tell me what's new in Windows 7 taskbar?
I can take a stab at that. There's actually quite a bit new in Windows 7. We have some shell improvements and, of course, some back-end work. But let's talk about the shell improvements. And it's easier just to show you what it is as opposed to just talk about it.
Go ahead. Take it off.
So comes as no surprise that I'm a PC. And this is my Windows 7 desktop. And the first thing you'll notice is at the bottom of the screen, a evolved taskbar. And you'll really see all the applications I use day in, day out. And so again, this is the way I use my machine. I personalize it to my liking. And it's really simple to get things on my taskbar. I can just go to the start menu, for example, and I love Paint. Just bring Paint to the taskbar. And that simply, I can just tell the machine, here are the applications I use day in and day out. When you actually now need to get work done, the first thing you may want to do is just go launch something. And so here, I want to start IE. Simple enough to bring my mouse on IE, click on it, and I get IE. And just like with the Vista taskbar, I can click on the button and restore and minimize. But what we've really done is kind of just made something, everything rather, easy to get to. So everything is really represented by one button. So here's IE, and I can easily see its thumbnails. Here's PowerPoint. And there's just really this lightweight and easy way to get to the window I'm looking for. And when I find the window I'm looking for, it's as simple as just clicking the thumbnail and switching to it. So we wanted to make sure the thumbnails were now interactive, whereas Vista, we had these pretty pictures, and we didn't let people touch them. So now you can easily click on them. What gets also interesting is if I open up another window of IE, for example here, I just use a keyboard shortcut, and I'll show you another way to do that in a moment. You'll notice the taskbar actually automatically groups these windows. And we do that again to give people one place to go and one place to look on their desktop. And so now if I easily just hover my mouse here, you'll notice now it's kind of like a contextual alt tab. So all the windows for that process are automatically connected. And again, you can easily click on these windows and switch. So very lightweight, very easy. And then we found out that in most cases, thumbnails and text do work, but in many cases, they may not. Think about Outlook. You have two email messages, and it's just going to be a big white box with a little text there. And so we introduced this feature called Arrow Peak. And the idea is if I just move my mouse over a thumbnail and just pause for a moment, you'll notice that the desktop itself reflects the actual window with its actual location, with its actual content. So really the notion here is I really have quite a bit of confidence before I switch windows. Another fun thing that happened here is you can kind of peek at a window to get some quick information from it and just move your mouse away and not even have to switch. So think of this as a way of switching windows without switching windows. Also, we're very, very, very happy to announce we finally implemented the number one feature request of the taskbar. Yes, you can finally rearrange items on your taskbar. And of course, all the windows that are associated with that button come with it. So really easy to customize this with the things you use every day and to switch and launch windows. But we didn't stop there. That would be easy. We wanted to take it, you know, further. And what we said was if you, in addition to switching windows, we know these programs also offer interesting things like destinations. Destinations is what we call files and folders, pretty much the nouns of applications, the things you use or you create with an app, as well as tasks, things you use day in, day out. So, for example, if I were to right-click on Word, and this is exciting, so you notice Word's not even running, and Word has done no work to integrate with the taskbar here. Just automatically they get this for free because they use the common file dialog.
Cool.
And you'll notice here, automatically it's a list of the recent document I have with Word. If I right-click on IE, you'll notice here are some custom categories they're giving us. So here's a history of the websites I've been to. If I go to Explore, here's a frequent list of the files and folders I've been accessing. And if you go to Media Player, you'll even see some of the tasks, playing music and resuming music, and some of the playlists as well. Another interesting thing to talk about is when we really want one place for the user to go, I don't know if many of our viewers are watching now and they use, let's say, the Media Player toolbar. It's kind of a toolbar that lets you control background music. And believe it or not, our data shows that only 3% of sessions actually ever see that toolbar. It's kind of hard to set up, and it takes a lot of valuable screen real estate on an already crowded taskbar. Well, we love this scenario, we just didn't like where it was. So if you notice now, kind of consistent with this one place to go, if you hover your mouse over Media Player, you'll actually get a what we call a thumbnail toolbar at the bottom of the thumbnail, which lets you very easily control your background music. So cool. Again, applications can plug in there and allow users to control easily from one place. There are a lot more features, but I figured we'd give you that quick overview of the central taskbar. The other thing I just want to quickly mention is kind of what's going on in the bottom right part of the taskbar here. You notice there are a few items here, and this is not because this happens to be a clean install. This is our promise to you that on a laptop, this is the maximum number of items you'll see. On a desktop, you'll actually see one fewer, you won't see power. And if you look at this, what we're saying is, again, this is about getting customers and users to only the few things that they really care about. And the notification area, which is now re-ramped, only has just this many items out of the box. And the question you may ask is, what happened to everything else? Well, it's under this kind of drawer, if you will. And if I really want access to these other things, I can easily drag these items to the top level and customize my taskbar to my liking. So finally, the users are in control about their experience. And you can easily remove things by just dragging them off. Also, in the extreme right corner here is a new control, or rather an old new control. It's the new Show Desktop control. And if you'll notice, people probably used to having it next to the Start menu. And we now put in the bottom right corner, and there are a few reasons for that. But the short version is, you can easily take your mouse and kind of throw it in the corner, and you'll notice all the windows on your desktop go transparent into these glassy sheets. And this allows you to easily peek at the desktop. You can easily look at your gadgets. It's a lovely 50 degrees here in Redmond. And it also allows you to look at files on your your desktop and before you have to switch to it. And by clicking on it, it's as simple as switching to the documents and the gadgets themselves. And then finally, the Start menu, just a quick overview. We didn't make a lot of changes here. We made some changes in Vista. We just wanted to fill out the experience and make sure we really respond to user feedback. We kind of made improvements to the shutdown controls here. And also that the idea of those jump lists that you can get to on the right click of the items on the taskbar, you can also get to by simply just hovering your mouse over here and getting them here. So again, in summary, there are a lot more features. But in terms of a top-level view, these are the really quick things that let users get to the things they want and switch to the windows they need to get to.
This is really amazing. I mean, it's a very cool, clean, and slick taskbar. Can you tell me a little bit what were the guiding principles when you guys actually went and started designing that thing?
So Chaitanya mentioned one of them, which is you are in control. So Windows is not deciding what should be down here. You are deciding what's down there. So that means the programs that you use all the time or things you want to be notified about, you can choose what to see there.
So Chaitanya, you showed you can actually take the paint and stuck it into the taskbar. How can you undo that?
Oh, undoing is as simple. Again, just these ideas of these jump lists. You can just easily right-click, and every single application will have these basic controls. So you can launch a new instance, for example, or you could just literally hit unpin, and it will be gone.
Oh, very nice.
User and control.
So that looks like the new taskbar is actually for launching application as well as switching between them. Why is that? Why do we went to that link? And I mean, I noticed there is no quick launch over here, and there are far less icons on the desktop and in the taskbar. Why did we make the extra effort to actually clean up a little bit the desktop?
Yeah, so the taskbar has always been about launching and switching, I think. So if you think back on maybe the Windows 95 taskbar or the Vista taskbar, you always had kind of a quick launch area and then kind of all your taskbar buttons to the right of it, which were your Windows switchers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you would have certain applications, say for instance Outlook. Outlook would have a little icon in a quick launch. And it would also, if it's running, actually have a window button open as well to the right. Now, clicking both of those buttons would actually do exactly the same thing. So if I click my quick launch icon, it would simply switch to the Outlook window. And the same thing if I click my window button. So one thing that we did with the new taskbar is try to consolidate some of that redundant functionality and really try to blur the line where appropriate between launching and switching. So that there is only ever one Outlook icon, say for instance, just to give an example, and I can go there to launch the application, to switch to the right window, or to do some extra functionality that might be available in the jump lists.
Okay, very cool.
Which is related, actually, to two of our goals. One of them was to be very clean and lightweight down on the bar. So one of the things we've heard in the past is you do a lot of stuff and the bar gets cluttered up, it gets really full. So we did a lot of work to make sure it's as clean as possible down there so that you can accomplish our other goal, which is to manage your windows with confidence. So you can go down there and get to the right window, the one you wanted the first time, and do it very quickly.
You know, just to extend and echo what both Trish and Stefan said, it's funny that Windows, the namesake of Windows is Windows, and we think customers are always looking to get to their actual window. And you know, since Windows 95 or even Windows 1.0, we used to have a very rudimentary taskbar at the bottom of the screen. It's always been about getting users to their task, and their task is fundamentally a window that has their Word document, their web page, etc. And so even when we redesigned or rather evolved the taskbar, it's still about getting to the windows first and foremost. That's the thing that customers care about.
So this feels real familiar, but a little bit different. Mm-hmm. What can you tell about that?
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit about some of the ideas and rationale that we did to how we ended up and with this specific visual and animation design. And we like to call this rationale personality.
Okay.
So let me show you in the desktop here, actually. So when you look at the taskbar there, it's clear that it's, you know, it refers back to Vista a little bit. It's a kind of an evolution of Vista. And that's pretty deliberate.
Sure, with the mouse.
You know, the taskbar is still made out of glass, and so it's still using some of the similar materials as Vista. What we did at the beginning of the personality process is kind of sit down and ask ourselves, you know, we want to redesign or kind of how should this taskbar look and feel? What should the personality of the taskbar be? And we started out by generating kind of a list of words, different words that for us kind of characterize some of the elements of the taskbar. So one source of inspiration that we used is Arrow, which is the visual language that we articulated for Windows Vista. And it's actually an acronym that stands for authentic, energetic, reflective, and open. And two of the words that we focused on particularly is authentic and energetic. We also looked at different ways of extending maybe some of that visual language. Since we're talking about personality, one of the things that we were thinking about is maybe we can put in some words that have to do with character, emotion, or anthropomorphism. So one word that came out of that was the word alive. Other sources of, you know, words for our personality were we listened to our users of our early prototypes. And here words like organized actually came up that we quite liked. And of course, we also talked with branding as well to make sure that we're completely in sync with Windows brand positioning.
Okay.
So keeping in mind some of those words, you know, when you look at the taskbar now, you can clearly see, you know, it's an evolution of Vista. So the taskbar is still made out of glass like it was in Vista. It's just, you know, the glass is a little bit more transparent. If you remember Vista, the taskbar was a little bit darker. The reason why we did that is because we made the taskbar a little bit bigger, and we wanted to offset some of that visual impact by just making the glass a little bit more transparent. Another thing that you'll see is, you know, these glass sheets that indicate which programs are running. You know, kind of the rationale for those glass sheets is we really want to communicate to the user that the Windows taskbar is still about Windows, like Shatanya mentioned earlier. It's primarily a switcher. You know, the Windows taskbar is all about Windows. It's not an application launcher. It's also an application launcher, but the Windows is kind of the core of it. So these glass sheets represent that. And if you'll see the IE window there has multiple sheets showing there. That's what we call a stack. And it's just a show to the user, you know, there's multiple windows going on there. Now, going back to energetic, you'll notice when I move my mouse over some of these launchers here, there's a little light effect that happens there. That's basically an evolution of what we already had in Vista. Now, when I move my mouse over an application that's running, say Media Player here, you'll see a much richer light effect appear. And I can move my mouse over another. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. move my mouse over another application, such as Windows Explorer, and you'll see a different light effect there as well.
Nice.
So the reasoning here was, you know, we wanted the taskbar to be very peripheral and kind of simple when it's not being used. But as soon as you start to interact with it, we really wanted it to come alive, so to speak. And we really kind of envisioned this scenario where the user simply brings energy to the bar. And, you know, the way we talk about it, you know, the unlaunched applications, there's not as much energy in them because they aren't launched yet. Mm-hmm. But the launched applications, they have more energy, so there's a richer effect there.
Cool. So how do you choose the colors?
Yeah, so the colors are actually based on the icon color.
Oh, okay.
So you'll see that, you know, I get a yellow glow here, and I get kind of the orange glow here for PowerPoint, and for Media Player as well, and then a blue one for Word.
Okay, so you actually do some calculation on the,
exactly.
The icon itself. You can choose your...
It's a normalized histogram across 27 different buckets. We ignore blacks, whites, grays, and alpha channel. Figure out your most dominant RGB value, and then, as Stefan mentioned, just dynamically paint that. And it's a subtle thing, and I think Stefan did a great job of describing the personality aspect of it. But from another perspective, we look at it as, this is your desktop. We want the user to look wonderful. We want the user to feel great. And also, we want the applications to look great. Right? Think of this as a wonderful way to put these applications on a pedestal. And it's not about the color Microsoft wants for your taskbar or Microsoft wants for your background. It's about if you, as a developer, come up with a beautiful icon, we want the entire button, your area of your application, to just light up and feel great.
This looks really, really cool and exciting.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, like Chaitanya was mentioning, we think Windows is kind of the stage on which the applications can really shine. We really want the applications to be great, to look great in Windows. To show you some other things, you know, when I move my mouse over, let's move over the start button here, you see a different kind of light effect happening as well. So again, this is about energy and light as well. The reason why this light effect is a little bit more elaborate, it kind of looks like light is shining through the Windows logo, is because we really still think the start button is kind of the star of the show in the taskbar. You know, in Vista, it was clearly bigger, it was kind of peeking out, it has a lot of kind of visual emphasis on it. In our new Windows 7 taskbar, we had to, you know, the icons are almost the same size as the start button. Also, it's no longer peeking out because visually it has to be in line with the other applications, but we still wanted it to feel very, very special. And that's why we invested in this kind of a light effect, this very elaborate light effect that occurs when I move my mouse over the start button.
Cool.
It's also a little it's a little bit inspired by the boot animation that you may be familiar with, and Windows Vista as well. And it's a little bit of play on words as well, right? So Windows, you know, lights shines through it. So that's kind of an intentional play on words. Another thing that I want to call out about personality is, you know, we put a lot of effort in coming up with a consistent kind of visual and animation language. But we also focus specifically on trying to really provide a lot of thoughtful details and also pleasant surprises as well.
Surprise me.
We know from our, and of course we've tested this in several usability studies, and we know, at least from those initial studies that we've done, one thing that usually comes up as a pleasant surprise is when I move my mouse over an application that has multiple windows, now all of a sudden I see multiple thumbnails side by side. And generally see that actually people really appreciate it, and they're like, wow, that's
really
interesting,
cool.
I didn't expect that, that's useful, you know, I like that. So definitely we, you know, and color hot track was another idea where we really wanted to focus on, you know, providing that thoughtful detail and a pleasant surprise as well. Then finally, you know, like Chaitanya already briefly showed earlier, when I move my mouse over one of these thumbnails, all my other windows actually turn into glass, and my primary window comes forward.
And not just that, actually only the relevant contextual content is highlighted. Everything else is like grayed away, glassed away.
Yes.
That's actually a part of this build and how IE is working, although we're still looking to evolve that design. But ideally, if I may, you will see it in this context where you'll actually see the frame and then all the other windows go away. But agreed that the key part is the client area, mm-hmm. the part of where the user's content really is.
Yep.
But again, as Stefan was mentioning, we want to bring all the other noise, if you will, away so you can focus mm-hmm. on what you're looking
yeah.
at.
Yes. Yeah, and the specific visual representation that we chose to allow the user to focus on that individual window is to make all the other windows transparent, basically turn them into glass sheets. And this goes back to, you remember, Arrow, and the first letter A is for authentic. So we wanted to stay true authentic to glass, the glass properties. And of course, one of the most prominent properties of glass is that it has transparency. So we really were trying to really stay true to that property. And we use it as well here on for the show desktop mm-hmm. effect as well, where basically I can now all of a sudden see through my glass sheets to look at the desktop.
Because this is a really cool experience.
Well, actually, it's worth noting, as we gave you kind of the quick overview of the demo, we gave you a quick demo of the task, but there was actually some other functionality. That the reason you're seeing this, and let me actually show you that, something we didn't have time to discuss earlier was, you know, this is all about window management. As Trish mentioned, it's about increasing confidence of getting to the window you're looking for. We also figured, hey, while you're looking for the window, maybe there are things you'd want to do to it without even switching. So, for example, I could even hit close, but I can easily close windows without even having to switch to the window. But to your point of you kind of like that glass effect, the reason you're seeing that is, to our knowledge, this is kind of the first time we're allowing people to do some more advanced switching with Windows. So I'll direct your attention to IE here. I think almost every browser now has tab browsing. And so if I click this tab and I open up a new web page, you know, one thing we looked at when looking at IE and other browsers is they're kind of recreating the taskbar up here. And we're like, what are these guys up to? And of course, we understand why, because they have their TDI applications, their tab document interfaces, and they need a way to switch to these windows. But it sure looks like the taskbar, little rectangular buttons and icons, some text. And so what we decided to do was, since the Evolve taskbar now already has one button for the user to focus on, and we're already grouping, as Stefan showed, those thumbnails, now if I just bring my mouse here, you'll notice that I actually see thumbnails even for tabs. So think of this as another level of a penetration into the application. So now developers can easily surface their child windows, in this case a tab, and now as a user I can easily just move my mouse here. Notice I can encounter a bug here, and you notice the thumbnail's a little, the thumbnail's working, sorry. But I can easily switch to the window I want to get to, or the tab in this case, or I can easily peek. And again, the reason we kind of gray this out right now is because that information is inaccurate as I look at other tabs. So we want to de-emphasize that and focus on the client area.
Yeah, another reason for showing the tabs is that we actually find that a lot of people don't remember if a website that they're looking for is actually in a window or in a tab. Basically, they're looking for a website,
right.
And we just want to show them, you know, the pictures that represent the websites and not have them worry too much about, is it a window, is it a tab, you know, do I have to go to IE first and then switch in there? Just, we'll show you all the websites, and you just look at a picture, recognize the one you want, click on it, and switch to it.
And another important piece there is, I don't know if this happens to you, it happens to me all the time, I find that oftentimes when someone comes to my office and they're kind of over my shoulder and I want to show them something, it always felt like Windows was faster at letting you launch or kind of go back to a website as opposed to finding the window that's already open. So I don't know about you or the viewers out there, but it's not uncommon for me to have multiple IE pages open, duplicates,
right.
Multiple Explorer windows with duplicates. And as part of this model is when I go to try to launch, let's say, a new instance or get to a destination, in that workflow, I automatically see the windows that are open. And so we're trying to guide people to reduce the number of superfluous windows they have open and rather get back to the tab that they're looking for or the Word document or whatever have you.
And that's one of the things our users have told us. They end up with a bunch of stuff open and they don't even realize it. And this way, just naturally, they don't end up opening two of the same thing.
So what are jump lists? I mean, they look like Vista recent menu item.
Consider them Vista menu items, but on steroids. Jump lists are really, really powerful. And when we were designing the taskbar, we all sat down and kind of thought about the way in which we all work. And we noticed there's kind of a three-step process we all normally follow. You kind of find your application. Then you use, let's say, the common file dialog or some way of finding your destination. Again, these are the nouns, the files, the folders, the websites you're trying to get to. And then step three is you consume that content or you create content. So it's usually a three-step process. And sure, the OS does let you kind of explore or search to get to destinations. But we want more people to be able to jump directly to the last piece. So instead of fiddling around with finding your right application, instead of fiddling around within the application to get to your file, we wondered, is there a consistent way on the desktop that I can always jump to the file or folder I'm looking for? Hence, jump list. And jump lists are are really interesting ways for users to get to what they want. And we mentioned one of our core goals was really, you know, the stuff you use every day at your fingertips. And as you can see from the taskbar, the top level is all about the applications you use. And if you just right-click, you will get a list of the destinations you use. And there's a lot of richness we expose around how these destinations work. So I think we talked before, for free, if you are a good application, you use the common file dialog, you get recent items. If recent items doesn't work for you, let's say your Explorer, for example, where your destinations, folders, are very volatile because people are going to many different places, they opted to use something we also keep, which is called the frequent list. So you can choose between recent or frequent. And if still that's not good enough for you, you can do something that IE did, which IE has their own algorithm. They have their own means of determining the most popular websites people go to. So they're surfacing a subset of their history. So again, there's a lot of richness about the type of destinations applications can expose. But the key takeaway is, regardless of what the application is, as a customer, I can go to my taskbar and I can right-click on these items, and there's a consistent experience about jumping to my destinations. Lastly, there is a means to get to the tasks. So as we showed you before with Media Player, they expose some interesting user tasks, let's say resuming a last playlist or playing all music. Here's the latest version of Messenger, actually. We can't launch it just yet, and we can't show you the UI, but we can show you is if you right-click on it, here's a whole new set of tasks they now expose. And you notice Messenger is not running and is in the taskbar. They're no longer in the notification area. They actually are using some of our APIs to appear in the taskbar always. Again, we said one place for the user to look. And if I right-click, I can now easily, you know, log in and set myself to busy. Or I can send an IM message right from here. And when the window starts, if you remember Stefan said we use a little glass visual to show that it's running, it'll appear exactly in the same place. And when you chat me and you have a conversation going, exactly in the same place. So again, a consistent place. And they are also leveraging the powers of jump list to make it easier to get to the destinations you use frequently and to get to the tasks you use every day.
This is also exciting. So as far as development perspective, and I know we're not going to dive into APIs here, so as a developer, I can customize the jump list and the task list, and I can do whatever I want with it?
Yeah, again, it is the Windows platform, and we're as powerful as our developers are, and so we want to make sure there are lots of really interesting and exciting ways to leverage this. It's also worth noting, I know you'd ask as well, how does this compare to recent items? And many of our developer community may ask, I already write to the recent items API, or I use the common file dialog. Again, if you do either of those two, you get recent items for free. So again, we want to make it really easy for people to integrate. Now, recent items is really exciting. We've had it in Windows for quite some time, and there are lots of benefits to it. But one thing we notice when we talk to users is recent items is kind of a heterogeneous list of all the recent items that I used. It's a very volatile list. So if you're looking for your Word document, it may not be there because it got pushed down when you open up three pictures. And so think of jump lists as kind of silos for each application, or as we joke, a mini start menu for each application. So just like you have the start menu and you have kind of the frequent applications you use and some tasks, think of this as an individual start menu for each application. That means the list can get pretty long and can be focused on just the files that you want to use. Another way to look at this is if you use Word, and I'm sure many of us do use Word, or any of the Office applications, Office for many years has had the recent documents on the right side in the file menu. And again, think of this as a really exciting way to get to that information even when Word is not running. So again, just more efficient, one place to go, get to the things you use every day quickly.
So throughout the talk, you mentioned a lot of user feedback and research that have we done. How does it tie into the working workflow that we do in Microsoft?
So we started back in March 2007 actually doing targeted research to inform the creation of the Windows 7 taskbar. We bring people into what's called a usability lab. So someone who has no relationship to Microsoft will come in and use maybe one of our early prototypes or an early build so that we can make sure that they can get to their Windows efficiently. We can see what they think about it. Do they find it positive? Do they spontaneously say good things about it? With a taskbar in particular, you also need to see people using it over a long period of time. Because it's got to be your content, it's got to be your stuff. It's all about the user being in control. So we needed to go out to people's businesses and homes. So we've done 3 longitudinal studies so far with different prototypes and builds where people got to use it for a minimum of 2 months. and give us their feedback. So we'd go out there in person, or they'd send us what we call smiles and frowns. They can just click a button and send us something with a screenshot about something they really liked or something that actually isn't working very well for them. And so that's why Chaitanya is able to say things like, oh, people really responded positively to this, or they found it more efficient to get to their windows. That's all based on those real users and their feedback, as opposed to us or people at Microsoft sitting in a room and guessing what our customers are going to say and what they're going to feel about it.
Throwing darts, for example. Yeah.
So I guess we cannot disclose any numbers, but I'm assuming we're talking about a lot of hours.
Oh, tons of hours. Just in the usability lab alone, we've seen over 60 people just use this for multiple hours at a time. In our longitudinal studies, we've had 70 families, a little more than that. We have 22 families out deployed right now who are actively using the new builds and sending us feedback. Every morning I go in my office and I get more sets of feedback from people, so it's awesome.
This is very nice.
And you know, the best part, Trish has done a great job in getting us all this important information to help us make these decisions, but I think the part we love the most is when one of these studies ends, so one of these long-term studies end and we have to take the build away. And then Trish will get this email that says, please give me back Windows 7, give me back the task bar. And that to us is really the confidence we want when we go out for beta.
Cool. Very
especially nice. Since they're unsolicited. Yes. And people just, you know, because they get my business card at the beginning and they'll just send me mail saying, oh, can you hurry up and finish this? Because I really need it back.
Yes. So this looks like a very long process. Can someone please shed more light about how do we do things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Trish was talking about usability studies, and of course we don't wait all the way until the end, until we have our final design, and then we put it in the lab, and then we go out and test it. We actually do a lot of usability studies throughout the process. And as we're designing and coming up with ideas for some of the interaction designs that we want to explore, we might do some mock-ups, or we might do some actual prototypes that actually run on Windows, so they're made by our developers. And or we would do prototypes in just interactive design kind of software as well. And all of that variety of prototypes, depending on the questions that we want to answer, get answered, we would put them in a usability test and try to get the right answers and kind of that would inform the next iteration of the design process. Now, I don't think we have time in this broadcast to really show you all of some of those prototypes that we developed for the taskbar as we designed it. But some of them are actually pretty interesting and tell a good story in terms of where we started, what worked, what didn't work, where we did a course correction, and where we got some insights from the usability. And we might be able to talk about that maybe in a future session.
Okay, guys, so this has been very exciting. It looks amazing and refreshing as far as Windows, and it looks really intuitive and easy to use. I'm sure everybody who will actually test it will feel good about the new Windows 7 taskbar. Any words before we wrap up?
Well, we're very excited. Again, as both Trish and Stefan have mentioned, we've worked really hard at this, but the ultimate judge will be the customers out there, and we're very eager to hear everyone's feedback from beta. And again, we will be back, and we'll talk to you more about the process, as well as just how as disciplines, how we all kind of work together and the roles we played in developing this. But it's been a great collaborative effort, and we're very excited to hear the feedback.
Thank you guys very much for a great session.
Thank you.
Thank you.